From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Syrian government is apparently not letting up in its crackdown on protesters. Reports from Syria say there were clashes overnight between security forces and residents in the city of Homs, north of Damascus. Foreign journalists are not allowed to report from Syria, so the BBC's Jim Muir is monitoring events from Beirut.
Residents of Homs, contacted by telephone, said that troops moved in during the night and started raiding homes, apparently looking for wanted people. The sound of gunfire could be heard in the background, but there's no word so far of casualties. Video footage posted on the internet showed military vehicles and troops on the move in the dark. The posting said they were heading into Homs. Protest websites warned the government against what they called another massacre there. State television has meanwhile been showing the funerals of 11 soldiers and policemen it said were killed in Homs on Friday in clashes with what it called armed terrorist gangs.
The BBC's Jim Muir reporting. The Associated Press is quoting a human rights activist in Syria as saying security forces are also making sweeping arrests in the key coastal city of Banias. Troops and tanks moved into Banias earlier this weekend. Intelligence experts are busy mining the secrets Osama bin Laden is believed to be contained in material seized from his compound in Pakistan the day he was killed. The documents have already shown he was actively involved in planning and directing al-Qaeda's plots. Officials hope evidence leads them to other key terrorists. There have been violent clashes today in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Baghdad, officials say at least 17 people are dead in fighting between security guards and prisoners who tried to overpower them. Said to be among the dead is an al-Qaeda leader who was accused of planning an attack on a church in Baghdad last October in which more than 50 people died. In Afghanistan, clashes stemming from yesterday's Taliban assault on government buildings in Kandahar City resumed today. In Memphis, Tennessee, anxiety is rising along with the Mississippi River. Rain yesterday was enough to persuade some people to seek shelter amid warnings to evacuate low-lying areas. Eleanor Boudreau, member station WKNO, is in Memphis.
Mario Peretto ended up at Hope Presbyterian Church after his mobile home park was inundated by water. As he bides his time at the church, Peretto worries about what all that water is doing to his home.
It's too high. I never see the water like that. I lived for 10 years in Memphis, and I never see the water that high.
Oscar Navarro also ended up at Hope Church after he had to leave his home north of Memphis in Millington. Navarro indicates where the water was, first on his mother, Anna, then on himself.
When we lived, it was all the way to here to me.
So that's like at your waist.
Yeah.
The Mississippi hasn't been this high in Memphis since 1937. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Boudreau in Memphis.
And you're listening to NPR News. Four members of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police will face perjury charges in connection with the death of a Polish immigrant nearly 4 years ago. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the man died after he was hit several times with a taser.
The four officers were responding to a call at the Vancouver International Airport in October of 2007. Robert Jakansky, who spoke no English, became agitated and began throwing furniture after waiting for several hours for his mother to come to the airport to pick him up. A video taken by a bystander showed the officers made no effort to calm Jakansky, instead immediately reached for their tasers. That was in stark contrast to what the officers testified. They said Jakansky was stunned because he was violent and was threatening them with a stapler. During the public inquiry, the commissioner rejected the officer's testimony, saying it was not credible and there was no reason to stun Jakansky. The four Mounties now face perjury charges. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Industry analysts expect gas prices to drop slowly, but they say they could be down as much as 50 cents a gallon by summer. A number of factors are coming together to make that happen, including a stronger dollar and falling demand in the United States. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com says crude oil prices are trending lower.
Oil prices have dropped under $100 for the first time since March, so we should see gasoline prices dropping a few cents every day in a majority of communities across the United States.
After shooting up more than 90 cents since January, the national average for a gallon of gas last week was just shy of $4 a gallon. Typically, gas prices peak each spring, then fall during the summer. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News from Washington.